Can we turn to Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The gospel means the good news, and with every good news, there comes bad news. And the bad news is that we are born unto sin. We are born as sinners, and we're born on this world, and we die, and we die, which leads us to hell. And there's really no way around it, and that's just the way it is. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered into this world. And it is sin in our hearts that caused destruction and all the hatred and everything that you see in this world today is all because of sin in our hearts. But the good news that you hear today, that some of you have been hearing all your life, is that it's because of our Lord Jesus Christ that we don't have to go to hell. And even though we're born as sinners, we don't have to live in sin, and our sins can be washed away. As what we read tells us that we have this burden and this weight, and sin can also hinder us. It could derail us or blind us. But we have to remember to look upon our Lord Jesus Christ, this person who endured the cross on our behalf, and he took the shame of sin upon himself for us. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge the fact that we're sinners. A lot of people don't really like to see themselves as bad people. Most of us can come to think that, yeah, we're good people. We do good things. We help out here and there. We're kind. So not a lot of people think that they need Jesus or they need salvation because they just don't acknowledge it. They don't see it. But the first thing that comes with good news is that you have to acknowledge that we are sinners, that we are born unto sin, and we do need our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to accept his work on that cross to have salvation. That's the first step to salvation, is that I acknowledge the fact that I am a bad person, and no matter what I do in this world, I have absolutely no way to get to heaven. You have to acknowledge the fact that there's this hopelessness of our guilt, that sin will burden you, and sin will weigh you down, and sin will blind you from seeing the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ and his work on that cross. And as we heard this morning, I want to remind you that the wage of sin is death. That means that the price of our sin is death, and we have to go to hell. We deserve hell. We deserve death because we are sinners. That is what God told us, that the price of your sin is death and eternity in the lake of fire. But the second part of that verse says that the gift of God is eternal life. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, Lord Jesus Christ is a very special person. He is both God and manifest in flesh. So he is both God and man at one point. We all hear about it and we all pray about it. And we're always reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was manifest in flesh and though he took a form of man, in him was no sin. We are flesh, but there's sin in us. He was flesh, but yet there was no sin in him. He was flesh, and yet he knew no sin, and he did no sin, and in him was no sin. He lived a sinless life that we can never, ever live. No matter how good you are, no matter how good people make you to be, we are sinners. And here was our Lord Jesus Christ, who was manifest in flesh, and he was sinless. He was the only one that could die for our sins. He was the only one that could be sacrificed for our sins. Our sin is against an infinite God. Our debt of sin should be paid infinitely. You can't just pay one thing and resolve your sins like the Jews did back in the day. It was only for temporary. The sacrifice of animal was a temporary measure to cover their sins. So for our sins to pay, we have to do it for an infinite amount of time for an infinite God. And where do we spend our infinite life and our infinite everlasting life is if we truly have to pay is in the lake of fire and hell. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he paid the debt one time, just that one time, so that we don't have to pay for it. We don't have to pay with our everlasting life. He did that one time, and he carried that cross to Mount Calvary. We read that in verse 3 that he endured the hostility of sinners against himself. The pain and agony that he endured for us as he carried that cross to Mount Calvary, and where he died for us and paid that price of sin for us. And we are covered, we are all covered by his sacrifice. Not only did he die for us on that cross, but he rose again from the grave. He rose again so that every Lord's Day when we gather here on Sunday, the first day of the week, he is here with us. He's here wherever we go. He's a living person. He's a living being. And how wonderful is that, that he would have this miracle of not only just taking our sins, but he would be risen again from the grave, and he would be with us no matter where we go. And it's comforting to know that. That he not only did he save us from our sins and everlasting life in the lake of fire, but in this world, wherever we go, he would always be there for us. And so that we too, we could die unto sin, and we too, like him, we could be born again unto righteousness. We too are resurrected. once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we too can die unto sin and be resurrected unto righteousness, into a new being. When I started working at the hospital with 20 new people that we never met, and there are people all around the country, and we all got together, and now we work as a team, and a group of us, I don't know how it came to be, while we're doing our medical notes, that religion came up, and one of the person told me that she knew that I was a Christian, and I asked her why. And she said that it's because you seem like a nice person, or you are a nice person. And being nice doesn't make you a Christian. Anyone could believe in God and claim themselves to be Christian. Anyone could believe in a higher power and claim themselves as Christian. But those aren't the things that makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is that you believe on the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe that I was a lost sheep heading to that road to everlasting life in the lake of fire. And because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross, he saved me from my own sins, and now I'm on this narrow road to heaven. That's what makes you a Christian. Not being nice, not being kind, not being generous. All the good things that makes you a good person doesn't make you a Christian. It's the fact that you believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I first came to this country, I got this box of Legos, and it was really cool. And you look at the instructions, you follow it. It was all pictures, no words, so you knew exactly what was going on. You made this finished product, and you were so proud because you followed the instructions, you made it. Now, as an older person, you know, if I do buy a box of Legos, put away the instructions, I just look at the front of the box because you think I'm a little older, so now I don't need instructions. I could do it by myself. I probably should be able to do it by myself, but you get lost because you don't know what's inside. You just see the outside picture. Our box of Legos, if you say, is our Lord Jesus Christ. From the outside, he's wonderful. He's sinless. He's God's only begotten Son. He's perfect. And that's what we try to be. But you can't, because you don't know what's inside. You don't know the instructions. You could try as much as you can, but you'll always fall short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So no matter what you do, you will always come short. You can never get there. So you try to look for instructions. A lot of people go soul searching, or they go to the internet, and they try to find ways how to get to that perfect picture of God and how to get there. And they search and end up failing because they don't look at the instructions that was given, and it's in the Bible. It's His words. We don't need an internet page, or we don't need to search on our own. It's right here. It's His words. And His words tell us, just come to me. Just believe on my work, and you'll be saved. So it's really simple, and you can't make it bigger than it seems. Like the first part of the chapter, first part of the verse tells us that put away that burden, put away the weight that's holding you down right now, put away that sin so that it doesn't blind you. Don't let sin blind you from seeing the truth in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you believe, if you acknowledge the fact that, yes, I'm a bad person, and yes, there's hopelessness, that I can never get to heaven, and that I will always fall short of the glory of God. Once you acknowledge that, then it's easier to accept the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ died for us. There's no need for evidence. The evidence is in our Bible, and the evidence is in our hearts. And that's what faith is. You have to believe that He died for us. It says that He is the author and our finisher of our faith, and probably our salvation. And there's a lot of authors out there. Whether I read their books, it doesn't matter. And that's the same thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He created our salvation. He created our faith. He's the author. Whether you accept Him or not, that's up to you. But He did it. He wrote it. It's done. It's all done. Whether you take the time to accept him, that's all to you. So you have to do it now before it's too late. Just a little story I wanted to share before I end. My second month of work, I worked in the intensive care unit, and there was a lady, old lady. She had a tube in her throat, and because she couldn't breathe on her own, she also had a tube in her stomach because she can't eat, and that's how they feed her. And she was essentially dying. She had a will, instructions when she gets old. That's what will is, or advanced directive. And it said that she didn't want to do all that stuff. When the time comes, she just wanted to go. She didn't want all that stuff done. But her family was very selfish. Her family wanted her to stay in this world longer. They wanted to spend more time with her. This life is very short. It just comes and goes. And it's selfish for us to want them here longer because we don't know where we will end up when we die. There was a story on NPR of 9/11, and a person talked about her husband dying, and she said, "I hope to meet him in heaven, because I hope he's there." Hope is a very, very hard thing to do. For everlasting life, you don't want to put hope in it. That's forever. You want to have confidence. You want to know that once I leave, I will end up in heaven. And even though you see your family members go and a lot of loved ones go, to them it could be just a blink of an eye. It could be a second that when you're there with them in heaven, it could have just been like a quick second. We don't know what time's like in heaven. It might feel long to us, but to them we could see them in a quick second. That lady, that old lady, I don't know if she was all there mentally. Infection could do a lot of things to you, and it could alter you and everything. It could make you a little weird. So I don't know if she comprehended everything I said. But I told her, as I sat there with her, I asked her, "Do you believe in our Lord Jesus Christ?" And she had a pastor come in and everything, so I thought she was a Christian. And she shook her head, she said yes. And I told her, "Do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you believe that you're going to heaven?" And she kind of sat there, so I don't know if she understood my question or not. But I told her her last name, and I said, "All you have to do is believe that you're a sinner and that there's no way to heaven. All you have to do is believe that Christ died for you. And when you're ready to leave this world, you will be in heaven." And I told her that, and again, I don't know whether she comprehended or not, but she was doing all that stuff, living on this world because of her family. I asked her, "Do you want to go through all this medical treatment, all that stuff?" Because I knew that she was tired, I knew that she wanted to go, and she said no. And I asked her, "Are you doing this for your family?" And she said yes, and I felt really bad, but the one thing I wanted her to know is that, you know, it's okay if they want you to be here longer, but she has to realize her time is coming, and when it comes, she has to go to heaven because no one else can get her there. Only she can do it when she believes the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, the seed is planted. The seed of salvation, the news of the gospel is planted in you. Whether you do it today or tomorrow, hopefully not too late, that is all up to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the author. You have to read it, and you have to believe it, and you will be in heaven when you leave this world. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thee thanks once again for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and our finisher of our faith and our salvation. Father, we give thee thanks that the plan of salvation was written before the foundation of the world, and our Lord Jesus Christ knew of the day that he would come to this world being born in flesh, and how he would have to go through pain and agony on our behalf so that he may save us from our sins. Father, we thank thee that thou would love us so much, even unto death. And Father, we're thankful that though we're sinners, though we're born unto sin and we have this stain that thou would dislike and thou would despise, that thou would love us so much to die for us on that cross and save us from our sins. So Father, we give thee thanks. We pray for those who have yet to accept our Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today is the day before it's too late that they accept him and be welcomed into the family of God and one day be accepted, one day see the kingdom of heaven. Father, we thank thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.